is the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody for being tuned in, locked in all over North America. I hope you've had a tremendous Monday, a good start to your week. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Hey, thank you so much to Saad Youssef, covers the Dallas Cowboys for The Athletic. Thank you for coming by and having a chat with us about Michael Parsons. He feels that ultimately they'll get a deal done in about 2 weeks. That's his prediction. We'll see if it comes true. Hey, we talked about the New York Yankees. They suck. We're going to have a chat and a conversation with Gabe Lax. He'll be here in about 20 minutes to talk some baseball, okay? We've also discussed the Cleveland Browns. We got Kenny Pickett coming back from a hamstring issue. Dylan Gabriel goes down, and it's been reported that the Browns have added another quarterback to the mix in adding Tyler Huntley. James Cook wants a new contract from the Buffalo Bills. He stopped working out. It's that time of the year, folks. It's summer. I guess people don't like doing work. Anyway, I'm here doing work. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate. If you got SiriusXM, it's channel 375. If you have a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. That's good stuff. You can find me online. I'm on the internet at JR Sport Brief. And if you want to call, 888-710-4ISN is the number. That number again, 888-710-4ISN. As we continue on with the show, I told you we got so much more to do. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about all the things that took place this day in sports history. Got WNBA drama, maybe teams getting sold, teams moving, players can't stand each other. What else is new? And then over the weekend, amongst all the NFL news, how about this? Luka Doncic coming to an agreement on a new deal. 3-year, $165 million max contract extension. Good for him. And then even earlier today, we heard from, well, not from him, but De'Aaron Fox has a new deal with the San Antonio Spurs. And so these guys are eligible for these contract extensions, and they have gotten paid. We're going to get into Luka's deal in a second because, of course, the storyline was, hey, when they did the press conference, LeBron James was not in attendance. But apparently LeBron James was in contact with Luka. But before we get to Luka, let's listen to Shams give this update on De'Aaron Fox, who decided to be traded to the Spurs. Yeah, why the hell was he going to go anywhere? I mean, Wembanyama's there. Listen to this.
Spurs star guard De'Aaron Fox has reached agreement, 4 years, $229 million max contract. He will sign the deal later today. I'm told, and this deal keeps him in San Antonio through 2029-2030. And again, remember, De'Aaron Fox, his agent Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, navigated a trade to his preferred destination. The only place he wanted to be in San Antonio back in February. Wanted to be a Spurs, got there, and now months later gets his full max contract. He's all in. I'm told there's no player option in this deal, so he will be there. This is a two-way commitment that the Spurs make, even in the wake of drafting Dylan Harper. They have Stephon Castle, the reigning rookie of the year, as well. But that relationship between Victor Wembanyama and De'Aaron Fox, very important. Those are the two leaders of this young core moving forward that keeps De'Aaron Fox there long-term.
Yeah, why would he go anywhere? Like, this is, some of this news is almost just like, yeah, where was De'Aaron Fox going to go? Unfortunately, the guy played, what, 15, 16 games with the San Antonio Spurs before he needed to have surgery on his pinky. But I would play basketball with Victor Wembanyama. I'd average 3 assists a game if I was playing basketball with Victor Wembanyama. And we found out, what, like a couple weeks ago that Victor Wembanyama, he's in the clear when it comes down to his blood clotting. Like, he had that blood clot in his arm. He's fine. And so I hope that's the worst injury or issue that he ever has to deal with. Victor Wembanyama is the man. Like, who doesn't want to watch a 7'3", 4'5" freak run up and down the basketball court? He is the longest dude in the damn game. So congratulations to him. And the San Antonio Spurs, yeah, they're going to be on the up and up. I know Greg Popovich is no longer the head coach. They're going to be on the up and up. And they got to figure out in a few years what they want to do with all of these guards. I mean, they got a Stephon Castle, who just won a Rookie of the Year. They just drafted Dylan Harper. It's gonna be some time. Devin Vassell is still there. Sochan. They got a lot of guys on this damn team. Eventually, over the next couple years, they're going to find a taker. And they're going to get some veteran help. And so the San Antonio Spurs are looking good. Los Angeles Lakers looking good. Luka Doncic decided to sign his deal. I told you he signed his contract extension, 3 years, $165 million. And by signing a 3-year deal, he has set himself up to sign an even bigger deal. 5 years, $417 million at the end. And that would actually make up some of the money that he just lost with the Dallas Mavericks because they decided to send him to L.A. And so, of course, the Los Angeles Lakers have an announcement. Luka Doncic has been on this entire PR tour now that he lost weight. And he was flanked by all of his teammates except LeBron James. He wasn't there. This is what Luka had to say. We'll get to LeBron in a second. This is what Luka had to say about staying in L.A.
Oh, I was kind of thinking, you know, even obviously not at the moment when I got traded, but later on when I started playing, you know, I wanted to be here. Like I said, you know, this is an amazing organization. We have a trust in each other. So I'm honestly, I decided pretty quick.
Yeah, well, you know, he ain't going anywhere. Come on. What was Luka going to say? I don't want to be in Los Angeles. I want to play in Portland. Like, what was he going to say? Shout outs to Portland. I love Portland, but let's be real. Luka also decided to thank everybody with the Lakers. Of course he did.
I just want to say thank you. Like I said in Spanish, you know, you guys welcome me with open arms. Thank you, Mari. Thank you, Jeannie, JJ, Rob. The whole organization really opened me with open arms. And honestly, I can't wait to get started.
Look at this. You lose weight and you get a new contract. And JJ Redick is like, hey, we got to get the team in championship shape. We know that was for you, Luka. The guy loses weight. He's on Men's Health magazine. He's hanging out with Aaron Judge. He's going to basketball games and the Heights in New York City. He's doing Good Morning America. They're asking him about Ozempic. This is what Luka had to say about trimming his waistline.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it was like a fresh start for me. Obviously, I was on my way on doing it, but it was just kind of fresh start. Had a little more time, you know, to get my mind off basketball. Just doing other things. So I would just say, like, a fresh start for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he said he didn't play basketball for like a month, right?
Yeah. So I guess a fresh start for him. No, he somehow gains weight from playing basketball.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. What's he going to look like when they start the regular season, right?
He'll be the same way he is now.
I think he's going to, I don't know. You start factoring in the travel, unless he's really, really going to stay on top of it. Why do you think he's going to stay the same size?
Because I think he's committed so much to this already this offseason. He's not going to just immediately balloon back up. Yeah. I think he's going to try to find a healthy balance at this weight of like strength training mixed with just fluidity, and then he'll be fine.
You know what? When you make that much money, and I know it can be tough on the road. These guys, their sleep schedule is crap. They're flying into cities, arriving at 2 and 3 in the morning. They got to sleep, get a workout in, go to sleep again, play a basketball game, get on a plane. It's not the easiest thing. But you would think when you have that much money, if you really wanted to, I mean, outside of sleep and travel, you could have every single meal prepared for you every single day, regardless of where you are. And so if you're getting into Boston at 3 a.m., and it's staying at five-star hotels, by the way, you can't get the best meal prepared. Does it have to be a cheeseburger? I mean, I don't know. We'll see what Luka does, this skinny version of Luka Doncic. But I told you, LeBron James, not in attendance. Of course, everybody looking at LeBron, who opted into his the final year of his contract. There is no contract extension. LeBron James has been throwing subliminals. His agent has been throwing subliminals at the Lakers all offseason. New teammates like DeAndre Ayton, Marcus Smart, they've all been asked about LeBron. Did you hear from LeBron? No. Nope. He's been quiet outside of his posts on social media. But we did learn that LeBron reached out to him before they had the press conference. So LeBron not in attendance, but apparently LeBron gave Luka a video call congratulating him. And why not? I think LeBron James is just, you know, he's negotiating just like all these NFL players. All these guys asking for trades. Michael Parsons, James Cook didn't ask for a trade. Terry McLaurin. LeBron James is trying to utilize what leverage he does have with the Los Angeles Lakers. You might as well. I don't think he's not, you know, showing up to work. He'll be at work. He'll play. And if the you know what hits the fan, then LeBron will say, I want to be out of here in February. It's as simple as that. But I think he will complete this season with the Lakers. And depending on how the season goes, he'll either move on to another team or he'll re-sign. It's simple as that. The Lakers are thinking about what their future will look like with Luka, who they can eventually pair up with him. And who expected LeBron James to still be this good as he's sitting on 41 years old in about, what, 4 months? Nobody. Nobody did. Rob Pelinka, the general manager of the Los Angeles Lakers, is what he had to say about LeBron and signing him to his new contract. 1 year, opt-in.
Yeah, so all the interactions we've had with LeBron and his camp, Rich in particular, have been positive and supportive, very professional, and Rich has been great. The dialogue with him has been open and constant.
Oh, that's good. Hey, positivity. Everybody likes positivity, right? It's unlike what Jerry Jones is doing with Michael Parsons, not positive. Also, Rob Pelinka was asked about LeBron and whether or not he is going to finish his career as a Los Angeles Laker. Listen to this response.
I think the number one thing we have to do there is respect he and his family's decision in terms of how long he's going to play. I think that's first and foremost, and we want to respect his ability to come up with his timetable on that. I think that's really important, but if he had a chance to retire a Laker, that would be great.
Yeah, you have some say in it as well. I mean, we haven't heard a thing about the Los Angeles Lakers tendering him a new contract. We haven't heard nothing about that. They could have gave LeBron James another 1 year contract on top of this one. They could have ripped up this deal and give him another contract and said he has an option year at the end. It's not to their advantage. And they're in rarefied air here. Like, how much longer is LeBron James going to be able to play at this level? He cannot play 82 games. You can throw that out the window. I think everybody would be fine and happy if he went out there and played 60-something games, 60-ish games. Bacha, what's the new number now for NBA for the awards and stuff? Is it 65 games?
I'm pretty sure it's 65.
Yeah, so if LeBron plays 65 games, everybody would be happy with that. He's going to be 41 years old. What the hell is this guy going to be when he's 42? So you can't blame the Lakers. If they don't want to tack on, they may have to do year to year. I don't know. I don't think it's as big of a deal as everybody is making it out to be. I think once they get to basketball, and depending on what this team looks like, things will fall into place from there. And who knows? Maybe LeBron James, and I think we all know better than this, maybe he'll fall off the side of a cart and this game will just suck. But what are the odds? I think at minimum, on his worst year out the door, LeBron James will probably be 25-5. So who the hell knows? I think the Lakers will be fine. I'm not picking them to win no championship. I expect them to go back to the playoffs, and then we just got to wait and go from there. So congratulations to Luka, got a new deal. I don't think there's a big deal with LeBron. Everything that took place took place. He'll be at work. Let's see what happens in February. Let's see what happens next year in June and July. And that's really hitting a fast forward button. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk Dallas Cowboys. We have to talk about the other, well, other big-time team in America, the New York Yankees. Yeah, Lakers, Dallas Cowboys, of course we'll get to the Yankees. We're going to talk about how bad they look and what can change. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk all things baseball. Gabe Lax is going to join us, covers baseball for USA Today Sports. So don't move. You're locked in. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're now a few days past the Major League Baseball trade deadline. And so, of course, there's some overreactions as to what some teams have done now that they've made some moves. No bigger reactions, as most times, than the New York Yankees. We have some other teams that are looking to break through and maybe win a World Series later on in a few months. Joining us right now to talk all things Major League Baseball is someone who covers the league for USA Today. Joining us right now is Gabe Lax. Gabe, thank you for taking the time.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
No doubt about it. Of course, with the New York Yankees hitting the trade deadline and then losing three games, getting swept by those Marlins, there's some overreactions going on. What are your thoughts on the New York Yankees? Their defense, their manager, their future, not looking good right now.
Yeah, it's a not particularly well put together team, just with regard to the fundamentals and stuff like that. I mean, you saw a lot of it in the World Series last year, and it's carried over a lot into this year with not having a real third baseman until they traded for Ryan McMahon a couple weeks ago. You know, Anthony Volpe kind of erratic in his play at shortstop. It's just I don't know if it's an organizational thing in terms of fundamentals at all levels, but it really makes you kind of wonder what exactly is going on foundationally there. I'm a tepid Boone supporter. I mean, I think he plays the players that he's given. He does what the the front office wants in terms of matchups and who to play and all that kind of stuff, and handles the media pretty well. So, you know, ultimately it comes down to the players the front office provides, and a lot has gone right with that this year with regard to guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Cody Bellinger playing pretty well, really kind of shorthanded starting pitching wise. The loss of Gerrit Cole was massive, and they really haven't spackled that, and along with a lot of the other holes there. So it's a flawed team, and so it's a little wonder they're struggling a bit. But certainly getting swept in Miami, and the way they were swept, was a little bit eye opening.
Well, Gabe, we know that in New York on WFAN, it's going one of two ways. People want to fire Boone, or they want to fire Cashman, who constructed the team. And Cashman is like the furniture at this point in time. He's a lifer in the organization. Is there any point in time where there can be any expectation that he moves along or is moved? That would certainly enter or usher in a new era that is pretty much going on 25 to 30 years at this point.
Right. Now, furniture is not a bad way to put it. He's so intrinsically tied into what the Yankees are doing, not just in the Bronx, but also in Tampa. And he kind of did a really good job centralizing the power, because there used to be these factions within the organization. Now the buck really stops with him. But it's that's a little bit tricky, because it's the devil if you're not a big Cashman fan. This is a guy who is has never had a team below 500, even though there have been a few a few retoolings here and there, a couple of missed playoffs. The machine has rumbled along pretty well.
Yeah.
And the draft and development apparatus is pretty good. They're always in it when it comes to trading players. So it's and of course that's like 3/5 of the Yankees whole purpose for minor leaguers and drafting, but and they've additionally produced some everyday players too. So it still feels like the organization is healthy, but I think they could definitely stand to do a little bit of self-reflection just in terms of why their play is so sloppy and why guys have not fully, you know, taken the final step towards being fully polished, formed players.
Gabe Lax is joining us, covers all things baseball for USA Today Sports. You want to talk about roster construction. We can look at Preller in San Diego and look at all the moves that he's made and bringing in Mason Miller and, you know, getting rid of the entire future of the team at this point in time. Are you confident that these moves are going to work out in San Diego for the Padres?
I think they will. And, so much was made of the Mason Miller deal because it involved, Leo DeVries, the number two, three prospect in the game. But, a lot of the other things that happened that day, most notably the trade with the Orioles for Ryan O'Hernan and Ramon Laureano, really deepens, improves the team. They're much better left-right matching up now, elite defensively in the outfield. A.J. Preller is basically, when the Roadrunner goes off the cliff, right? And he's kind of scrambling and treading water, and he's hanging in the air. And eventually the Roadrunner falls to the ground. Well, A.J. Preller manages to kind of stay elevated. He manages to kind of defy gravity, which is the only way to really kind of imagine what he's done with just constantly burning prospect capital. And then drafting well, too, and getting decent guys out of Latin America. That's also how this becomes possible. But, after this year is going to be really interesting because this is kind of a significant window. This is the last year for Michael King and Dylan Cease, who are basically the last vestiges of the trading Juan Soto away to the Yankees. So it's interesting to see how aggressive they are backfilling that in the winter to try to do this again in 2026. But I think they're really well positioned, and I think they're going to give the Dodgers a pretty decent run down the stretch.
Well, Gabe, we know that NL West is going to be tough. What are some other divisions that you think are in for a wild ride down the stretch now that we're after the trade deadline?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy that the answer is pretty much all of them, with the exception of the AL Central. And I think that, the best race is by far in the National League, give or take. And kind of want to hone in on the Brewers and Cubs. It's kind of back and forth with them all year. Right now, the Brewers have the best record in baseball. They just pounded out 56 hits in destroying the Nationals over the weekend. And it's a heck of a rivalry there when you talk about their old manager, Craig Counsell, now managing the Cubs, and obviously the proximity and all the Cubs fans that invade Miller Park or whatever it's called up there now. But interesting kind of scheduling. There's a rainout in here somewhere, but these teams hook up for five games in a couple of weeks, five games at Wrigley Field from Monday the 18th through Thursday the 21st. And that's going to be really indicative of how the division's going to go. And I do believe that's the last time those teams meet this year. The schedule's very funky that way, very front-loaded with intra-divisional matchups. So it's kind of like, say your piece now, and then you got to go back to your neutral corners and see what you can do. But, I'm really looking forward to that in 2 weeks. Five games at Wrigley, bookended by day games at the front and back of that. So that to me is the most compelling race that's out there.
Well, Gabe, you talk about the race, right? We just mentioned the New York Yankees. They're in action right now against the Rangers. They got a run up against them, one on the board so far. What are your thoughts on the Rangers and what they've been able to do to help fortify that starting rotation, bringing in Merrill Kelly?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with the way the Rangers played the last, I guess, basically the month of July leading up to the trade deadline. This has been the most maddening year in recent memory when it comes to teams that are kind of, under 500, 3 to 5 games under. They crawl back and get their head above water for a second. They go back under. But the Rangers, they kind of kept pushing that boulder up the hill, got on the right side of 500. And, Chris Young is aggressive. in the baseball operations, and they still want to win. The 2023 championship is still fresh in their minds. They want to leverage that with their crowds, and they're still drawing pretty well at Globe Life Field. So I'm impressed with the way they were able to, able to make sure there's no ambiguity. We're not selling, and we're going to add a little bit. Kind of a tough series over the weekend. You get that nice trade boost, and then they end up losing a series to the Mariners. Two back of the Mariners, 4.5 back of the Astros. But, man, that pitching, you want to talk about the Hall of Pretty Good. Nathan Eovaldi is probably a first ballot Hall of Pretty Good. He's he's such a valuable pitcher. Not a Cy Young guy, you combine that with Jacob DeGrom, being able to dominate, not quite to Mets levels. He's not going 7-8 innings. He's more like going 5-6 innings. But, you take DeGrom and you take Eovaldi, and then you add Merrill Kelly to the mix. Good luck matching up with that in a three-game series. So a lot of on-ramp here for them to really leverage that acquisition and do some things. So you're absolutely right. That's a team to watch, and it should be fun to see how that AL West shakes out.
Well, Gabe, you mentioned the weekend. We had baseball in Bristol, Tennessee. It took 2 days and a rain delay for us to get the Braves and the Reds to finish up. Was this a disaster for Major League Baseball, all things considered? The Field of Dreams was amazing, but this wasn't as planned. There were a lot of horror stories coming out of this.
Yeah, I mean, you can't predict ball, you can't predict the weather. And East Tennessee, renowned for pop-up storms. A lot of the stuff was out of their control. I know there were horror stories about the concessions, where does that dropped pop-up land in between, MLB and the food service provider and Bristol, the racetrack itself. But by all accounts, the folks at Bristol did a nice job kind of leveraging their knowledge of turning it into a good place to visit, a playable field. There's a few things I learned this weekend. I'd never heard the phrase "it's Bristol, baby," but that's apparently a thing there, and I think that's the best way to kind of chalk up this experience. And again, it's kind of a gap in Major League Baseball's map, if you will. Pretty wise to match the Reds and the Braves, one looking north, one looking south. The concept of maybe expanding to Nashville someday. It was a really good idea. The place looked pretty sweet, but it wasn't entirely aesthetically pleasing, just with kind of that dead area where the track comes around, but also pretty cool. You're hitting a home run onto that thing. So not a disaster, a worthy try, a definite bummer that, that the rain came and you feel bad for the fans who were among the 91,000 that bought tickets and couldn't stick around for the rain day. So definitely understand the disappointment.
So where's the next vanity game? We got one coming up at like Area 51 or something like that.
That's a really good question. They expanded to London. They weren't able to get into Paris. I don't know if that's still, a concept still on their, on their dance card. I guess a navy fighter ship wouldn't be big enough, like the Hoops. A few years back, but. There's a lot of unconquered territory out there. I don't know if they'd ever consider, the non-continental 48, Hawaii, Alaska, somewhere in there. Alaska's got a great tradition as a, with the summer baseball league, the Wood Bat League for the college kids. That would be kind of interesting. Play it at 10 o'clock at night and when it's still light out, that might be kind of fun. But you're right, it's they've mined a lot of it, and they certainly, these games get a pretty nice attention pop, so I don't think we're going to be seeing the vanity games going away anytime soon, and especially as they workshop toward eventual expansion sometime, around the start of the next decade.
And we'll see. We know they got to get through the CBA first, and we'll see what that that looks like. Well, Gabe, thank you so much for the time. Please tell everybody where they can follow your work with USA Today.
Yeah, absolutely. MLB.USATODAY.com, Twitter at Gabe Lax. And we're on that internet. So it's all out there, and it's, grind of the season, just a couple months left. So we'll see what we can gin up, and then head to the playoffs for sure.
We'll see. We're going to blink and we'll be staring right at the playoffs. I'm trying not to rush it.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Gabe. We'll catch you on down the line. Okay.
I appreciate it, JR. Take care, man.
No doubt about it. That Gabe Lax covers all things baseball for USA Today Sports. I was so, not that I bought a ticket. I was bummed out for everybody who bought a ticket. 90,000 people up in Bristol, Tennessee. People are coming into town and planning on spending one day, one night, getting in and out. And then it's a rain delay. And you don't expect it to rain all day and all night. And that's really what it's been doing here in the South for the past several days. It's just been, it's been raining off and on. It's dreary. We went from hell right to fall. We went from 95 to 100 every single day to it being 65, 69 and raining and windy. Right away, I'm sitting in the studio now with a hoodie on. Like, we went right to fall based on the weather that's outside. So I feel real bad for everybody over the weekend who tried to get some baseball in Bristol, and it just didn't work out. I saw some hot dogs with no buns. I saw some nachos with no cheese. I saw rain and water. Miserable people. I wouldn't have spent a dime. I stay in my house. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of moving sports and leagues, we come back. We got more beef in the WNBA. Every day is a beef. People are throwing things on the court and beef everywhere. There's a lot to discuss. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. 888-710-4ISN is the number. But right now it's time for a news flash with Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Thank you to Gabe Lax for joining us from USA Today Sports. If you missed that conversation, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We talked about how bad the Yankees look, how good the Rangers might look in a few months, and then we talked about this this baseball game up in Bristol, Tennessee between the Braves and then also the Reds that was in a long-ass rain delay before they suspended the game, came back and played it yesterday, and it was just a disaster. I saw quotes and messages about how this was MLB's version of the Fyre Festival. That scam, Botcher, was that in Long Island? No, Fyre Island, right? That's where it was, right?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Am I dumb?
I don't know. Are you?
What was the festival like?
So there was a guy who organized like a weekend festival in the summertime. It was supposed to be performances and all inclusive food. It was supposed to be a big party weekend. So just like Burning Man or something like that in Los Angeles, it was going to be this version of it in Fyre Island in New York. You've never heard of this?
No. Recently, no. It was actually in the Bahamas. I looked it up.
Couple years ago, what the Fyre
Festival?
It was in the Bahamas.
It was by Billy McFarlane and Ja Rule.
Yes, and so the thing was that people went there, and they're expecting giant meals and the finest of food, and they were eating bread with cheese, and it was just the worst possible thing ever.
It's like the Willy Wonka experience. That was a thing. Was that last year?
No, see, I don't know what the hell you're talking about now. Willy Wonka?
There was the Willy Wonka experience in Europe?
No, bro.
So that's
no.
More my speed. They promoted this, like, enter the world of Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. And then you go in there and it's like a warehouse and there's nothing in there.
Oh, people get scammed every day. How could you not hear the Fyre Festival? I'm looking at it now. It was 2017. It wasn't that long ago.
I guess I didn't pay attention to this.
Yeah, this guy, I believe... I believe the founder of it, I think he did jail time for scamming people, man. Yeah, he defrauded people out of $28 million to do this. Vanity Fair described him as the poster boy for millennial scamming.
Wow. Now I know.
Yeah, now you know. Don't go to anything with his name on it. And so people are saying it's not this bad. People are saying that the baseball game on Saturday was Major League Baseball's version of this. I'm not going to go that far. But I can imagine that, yeah, it rained and people were waiting around. They didn't expect for there to be a 3-hour damn delay. Folks ate all of the food and the experience was miserable. Like, what else do you expect in a 3-hour delay at a place that's not a baseball stadium? It's for racing. I don't know. I felt bad for the people. I felt so bad because, you know, people spent money, but you run the risk of this. I don't know.
I really don't feel bad. Yeah. If the only thing I'd say is that it's probably people who went to the game who are not from Bristol.
Absolutely. So I'd say the majority.
So they would have no idea of how the rain delays work, because NASCAR, there's tons of rain delays all the time. So I think if you've been to the racetrack before, you would have been used to it.
Nah, bro. I mean, Bristol is almost equidistant between Cincinnati and Atlanta, which is why they held it there. I know a bunch of people who went up there. I can assume a lot of other folks from Cincinnati and the surrounding area and all of Tennessee just went up there thinking that, hey, I'm going to have a great experience watching a baseball game at a racetrack. And they got crap. That's all they got is crap. They got rained on. But it's an outdoor sport. Like, can't nobody predict the weather or whether or not it's going to rain? I don't know. You got no heart, man. That's tough. You don't feel bad for the people?
I feel a little bad, but they still got the game in, so I'm not...
The next day?
Yeah, it happens all the time with other stadiums.
Yeah, but not as a travel destination. I would assume most people said, I'm going to get into town on Friday. I'm going to have dinner, maybe I'll have some fun, you know, go out, have some drinks, eat, whatever, go to the baseball game on Saturday, and then I'm leaving on Sunday. That's what people do. They ain't spending a whole Sunday there to now leave on Monday. And so I really wonder how many people actually went and planned to stay through Sunday. I'd say most people said, I'm getting the hell out of here by Sunday. And I don't know. I feel bad. If you went to the baseball game, if you are listening, if you hear the sound of my voice right now, if you were in Bristol, Tennessee, and you saw the Braves and you saw the Reds over the weekend, or you didn't see anything because it rained, call me. Like, I want to know the experience. If you went to the baseball game over the weekend, call me up. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, it's not like they were at, you know, a Truist Park or Minute Maid Field or Yankee Stadium. We had a rain delay. Hey, everybody come back tomorrow. Well, we're going to do a doubleheader. Like, this is a one-off. And there's nothing more than buying tickets to something and just being miserable. I think like everything in life, it's all buyer beware. Every bit of it, especially for outdoors. Yeah, you don't know. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Uh-oh. This does not appear to be someone who went to the game. Paul from Rhode Island, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. You didn't go to the baseball game, did you?
I don't have to. You know what? The owners know what the division is, and they spend money how the division is. And that's it.
What?
Get back to my Patriots.
Division?
You know what?
Hold on a second.
Yeah,
what do you mean? Division?
What do you mean?
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Well,
I'm talking about
you
a baseball game.
When you have the-
oh, my God. What is he talking about? I'm talking about a baseball game. And he's talking about spending money on a division. Paul, what are you referring to, Paul? Huh? Hello?
Come on.
What are you referring to?
Yeah, you know, listen, you know very well that you don't spend the money if your division is hot. You know that.
Okay, hold on, Paul. I feel like we're having two separate conversations in a parallel universe. Not even. I'm talking about a baseball game. He's telling me about spending money in divisions. What the heck? Let me check. Am I on Earth right now? Yeah, I think I am. All right. Well, thank you, Paul, for calling from Rhode Island. I don't know what the hell he was talking about. I need a, well, a cigarette may not work. I mean, need something strong. May need a drink. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. If you went to the baseball game over the weekend, if you watched or attempted to watch the Braves and the Reds, please call me. I want to know the experience. Did you get screwed? Did the weather destroy you? Was it an awful experience? Do we not need to have, I don't know, a baseball game at a racetrack? Call me up, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Did Major League Baseball screw you over? Call me if you went. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. And we got so much more to get into as well as the show continues on. I talked about the WNBA. We got a team that might move. We got players who have stopped working at work, will stop working out at work. We got a lot to do. 888-710-4ISN. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.